Okay, hopefully everybody can see my computer screen now. And as we move into the tactical stage, the first step in the tactical stage is to determine your risk sources. And one of the tools that we have to help you do that is what we call the Risk Influence Calculator. We actually have two versions of this available in our online toolbox. One of them is unpopulated, in which when you load it up, all of these blanks that you see are unpopulated with data or information. And then the other one we have up there is called the EWS Farms version, where we have it pre-populated with the example from our book, our case farm, EWS Farms. Regardless of which one you load, these are changeable. So for example, in the market price risk type here, they've identified corn price. We could easily change that to just grain prices in general. And then in the description column of this, that's for your own use in terms of why that is a risk to you or what you're trying to, what you're worried about in particular for that risk. Now you see here that we have this split up into the five areas of risk that John mentioned in his introduction of market, production, financial, human, and institutional risk. And in each of them, you can identify a couple of different risk types. And then the way this tool works is as you move over to the right, you can assign a value from 0 to 10 for the probability that that risk will impact your operation. So for grain prices in the EWS Farms situation, they have a case farm, they have corn and wheat is, you know, 99% of their income. And so that's going to, and with the current market environment with things dropping down considerably in the last 12 months in terms of prices, they might bump this up at this point to say 7 and say that the probability that grain prices have an impact on my operation is fairly high. And then the next column over, the impact column, is where you actually, again, put a value of 0 to 10 on if something bad happens in that risk category, what is the impact it does have on my operation. Again, because I rely heavily on grain sales, of course, a large drop in grain prices would have a huge impact. So they might put that as a 10. Those two columns, the probability value and the impact value, combine to give us the risk value. And the risk value is simply an average of the two. So in rounding up, of course, in this case, the average would be 8 if we look at it there. So our probability impact tab then, if we want to go and take a look at that, what it does is it takes all those risks that you've inputted on your data matrix and puts them in a chart. And the idea is to show you those risks that you should be worried about. So if I look at this chart with quadrant 1 down in the lower left, those are those risks that have a low probability of occurring and a low impact on my operation if they do occur. So they're the risks I would be least worried about addressing. As I move from left to right there to quadrant 2, we see the risks that, if they do occur, are going to have a large impact on our operation, but there's a low probability that they will occur. In this case, that pink dot represents the family, and when they did this data matrix, when Aaron filled this out, that was looking at, will his dad retire? And if his dad does retire, that's going to have a big impact on the operation, but he views that as a low probability of occurring. As you move up into the upper left, you've got quadrant 3, which is where you have a low impact, but a high probability. And then, of course, the risks that you're going to be most concerned about are the ones up in quadrant 4. Up and to the right, the high impact, high probability of occurring, and in this case, that's where grain prices would fall. The other piece of this is the actual influence that you have on these risks. If we go back to our data matrix, we see the far right-hand column. Again, we can move these around up or down if we like in terms of what we view as our ability to have an influence on this risk. And it could be an influence on the probability of something occurring. It could be an influence on the impact if it does occur. In this case, as I mentioned earlier, Aaron's coming back to the farm freshly educated on marketing alternatives, and he feels that he has a large ability to have an influence on the grain prices the operation will receive. So he puts an 8 in there as to indicate that. The risk influence tab then combines the risk and the influence again in a chart, two-dimensional chart, with influence going from left to right and risk going from bottom to top. And again, we concern ourselves primarily with the upper right quadrant, quadrant 4, because those represent the risks that we feel we should be most concerned about in terms of the probability and impact on the operation, and also the risk that we feel we have the most ability to influence. So in this case, in our case farm, in actuality, when they went through and worked on this, grain prices did come out to be the area that they wanted to address. So after you've determined the risk sources, and particularly the risks that you want to address, the next step in the SRM process is to identify your management alternative. So if the operation has identified grain prices as the risk they want to address, then of course they need to take a look at the different alternatives that they might use to address that. And John's going to get into more detail on this when he looks at the risk ranker tool, but just to preface that, primary tools that or alternatives that they looked at was the cash markets, which is what predominantly Aaron's dad had been using over the years, and also forward contracting, which he'd done a little bit with the local elevator. And the next piece that Aaron wanted to bring to the operation was hedging, and the idea of putting a floor underneath your market price out in advance in order to protect yourself. So in the end, what Aaron ended up working on here was a more comprehensive marketing plan. And I'll save that for John's presentation when he goes through the risk ranker in terms of how some of that stuff turned out. But in general, the idea is to keep an open mind and to look at all the different alternatives that you can then use to address whatever risk it is that you identify here as where you need to focus your attention. Okay, the next step in the SRM process is to estimate likelihoods. One of the tools that we have to work with there is our risk profiler tool. And one of the most common questions we get when we go out and do risk management workshops is, you know, where do we get the probabilities and the outcomes and the different things that can occur, in particular the probabilities. So the risk profiler is a tool that we put together to hopefully help people do some of that. And again, there's three tools built into this particular tool. The one that you see right now is one where you input just three pieces of data, the most likely outcome that you think will occur, a minimum value that you think could occur, and a maximum value that you think could occur. I'm going to come back and play with this in a moment, and it's also built into our stochastic budget generator, which I'll show you in a second, too. The second tab here is one where you can describe your profile using basically five data points where you input the probability that that will outcome will occur and then the value if it does occur. So, for instance, you see the 10% probability attached in the second row here to a value of $1.26. Again, this tool is built into one of our other tools, which John will be showing you, our risk ranker tool, so I won't go into the details of that right now. And then the third tool, which I'll just point out here, is one that is of particular value when it comes to dealing with yield data, because most producers can readily pull out their crop insurance information and pull up their last 10 years of production history in terms of yield and enter in 10 data values. So this is the last tool that we have here to help people take a look at their risk profile for a particular variable that they're concerned with. So let me go back to the very first one, the minimum, most likely, and maximum, and let me just put in some numbers here. Dwayne had mentioned that the prices we were looking at for wheat, in particular in the fall, were $3.80. So let's go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and enter in our current situation here, where perhaps the most likely wheat price would be 380. And let's say on the low end, we're looking at 320. And let's say on the high end, we're looking at, we'll go ahead and be a little optimistic here, we'll put in 550. Okay, so let's say that's what we think our marketing scenario will look like this marketing year for our wheat crop. The numbers change to the right in terms of the statistics that you see automatically, and then of course the graphs, the histogram, the probability density function, and the cumulative density function will change automatically as you change those numbers. Now, rather than go into the details here with this graph, I'm going to go to the last tool I wanted to show you, which is our stochastic crop budget generator. And this tool actually has that risk profiler tool that I just left built into it in the context of a crop budget. So in this particular case, the default that we have put in here is a wheat, winter wheat enterprise budget. The cells that you see in color are cells that you can vary in a stochastic sense by entering in a minimum, most likely in a maximum value in the box to the right here. So if I focus on, in particular, I won't get into the crop yield or the operating cost per acre here today in the interest of time, but if I went into the crop price for wheat and entered in those same numbers that I did on the risk profiler, 320 for a minimum, 380 for a maximum, or most likely, excuse me, and let's go with 550 for a maximum. What that does is it's going to take this information that I have here in my static budget and turn it into a stochastic budget. So I can view just that price distribution by clicking on the price button, and I see the histogram and the CDF, which would match what was back in my risk profiler, along with the stats in the box on the upper left. Okay. But what I'm most interested in here is if you think about this combination of stochastic inputs here, the variance in price that I might experience, the variance in yield that I might experience, and the variance in operating costs per acre that I might experience, is what this tool does is it combines those into a probability distribution for both your gross margin and your returns to management. So on my static budget here, I have 98.79. Enter in some stochastic information, and if I go to my gross margin here, we can see that the mean for my gross margin is 16.34, given those stochastic elements involved. And if I take a look at the histograms, you can see the distribution of possible different gross margins that could occur. And probably one of the things that would be of most interest is to go along the cumulative distribution function and look at the probability that I would be profitable. And in this case, you're looking at right around a 30% probability that you're going to be profitable, if you look at that 2.29 in the gross margin sense. And you can pick out whatever value you want there in terms of a particular data point that you want to check. So the idea is to just help you pull together some information and take a look at the different possibilities and likelihoods of different things occurring and make an assessment of how much of a risk it really is to your operation. Okay, so with that, I'm going to stop the sharing. Turn it over to John for a look at our ranking management alternatives tool, Risk Ranker.